So the first time that I ever went to eat dinner with Stephen Elliott, he asked me if I wanted dessert, and I said, I don't eat dessert. And he told me, well, you can't be a full gospel preacher if you don't eat dessert. And I said, well, we're gonna have to disagree. I know other people, they've asked me, I've been to their house, and they say, would you like dessert? And I said, no, we didn't eat dessert in our house unless it was a really special occasion, like maybe Christmas, Thanksgiving, or somebody's birthday. And that was the only time. And I remember I told this one British lady that, and she was like, it's not a meal unless you eat dessert. Unless you have dessert, it's just food. I was like, I don't know what to say. But I know that around Christmas is built around traditions. We have, for every person that's in there might be a different tradition. And that is what Christmas means to each person. And that tradition brings comfort. That tradition brings a sense of peace. Like sometimes it might be, I don't know, what are some Christmas traditions that we have here today, that Christmas isn't complete until blank has happened? Any suggestions? Eat dessert. Turkey? Family's present? Putting up the tree? Oh, like who has a very specific order in which things get opened? Does anybody have that? Yeah. Oh. All right. Oh. All right. Breakfast first. And so these things, they bring us a sense of comfort. I know people that are saying, oh, I have to watch certain Christmas movies. And that is when Christmas is complete. Christmas Eve comes and we watch a particular movie. And so you probably already guessed this, but I'm not the most traditional person in the world. And there are certain things that I enjoy doing over the Christmas holiday, but if I don't do them, it's not really that big of a deal to me. I don't feel as though I have not experienced Christmas because those things haven't happened. And I would like to think that it's because I don't find my peace in those things. And I look more to God than I do to those things that we could do, those external things that can happen, that can bring us a sense of comfort and peace. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible, you can turn to page 779. We're going to read from Malachi today. So the Christmas Advent season being not my favorite season to preach out of, I looked for a calendar of things to preach from, and they chose Malachi. And, well, I was pretty glad that I did that. Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant who you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. Now, I was surprised that that was the verse that was chosen to speak about peace, because it doesn't actually mention peace at all. If you just read it for what it says, there's not a whole lot of peace in there. In fact, it spends more time talking about the refiner's fire and the refiner of gold and silver. It says that God will sit as a refiner of these things. And, well, I'm not a blacksmith or any kind of whatever that person is, a refiner of precious metals. But I do know that it takes an incredible amount of heat so that you can burn away all of the impurities that are in there. And I know we like to, when we think about peace, we like to think about external peace. Like, I wish that person over there would stop being so aggressive. I wish that that person over there would stop doing what it is they are doing. I wish that over in the Middle East that they would all just get along. Is that the kind of peace that Christ came to bring? That we can just say, hey, you should be at peace. I know when I read Scripture, I read it for myself. I read it so that it will transform my heart and my soul, not so that I can point out to my brother, hey, maybe you shouldn't be such a fill in the blank. Maybe you should be kinder and gentler. Maybe you should love more. Maybe you shouldn't curse so much. Maybe you should do these things. That's not the reason that I read Scripture. I read Scripture so that I can look at myself and I can say, what needs to change in me? And it doesn't matter what is going on outside the world. God said, Jesus said, that we will continue to have troubles. He said, in this life, you will have troubles, but I have overcome. I will be your peace. And so that is our peace. And that is something that once we hold on to and we recognize that our peace comes from the presence of God dwelling within us, we no longer have to look outside to demand peace. Because it doesn't matter what is going on. You know, we would love to see peace in Europe and peace in the Middle East. But we know that for the number of people that are here today, we could disagree on any number of things. And so I am not going to allow your lack of peace to affect my peace. And I wouldn't expect that you would allow anyone else to disrupt your peace. Because your peace, the foundation of your peace, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about God being the refiner of gold and silver. And that can be a very painful process. I know we've talked about it, and people have said to me, they say, oh, I pray for patience. And, you know, you just expect that, oh, yeah, I'm just going to be a patient person. But that's not how it works, is it? Oh, if that was how it worked, it would be so much better. There wouldn't be a whole lot of free will in there, but it would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? But when you pray for patience, God will give you situations that require patience. When you pray for strength, God will give you situations that will help build your strength. And when you pray for peace, God is going to give you things that are going to not produce peace in you. Because peace, I have to say that probably the most powerful prayer that I've ever prayed, And I know I talk a lot about surrendering to God and the importance of surrender. But the most important prayer that I've ever prayed to God, and the one prayer that has given me more peace than any other prayer, is when I ask God to take away what I am unwilling to give. When we can sit there and we can make a list of all the things, and, oh, God, I know I need to change this in my life, and I know I need to change this in my life, and that is a stumbling block in my life. But this over here, let's just keep that for now. All right, let me deal with these things, but this right here, I want to keep. And I think that we all, each and every one of us, we all have our own struggles. If we are not fighting against some form of temptation, you're either the reincarnation of Christ, which you're not, or you're lying to yourself. You're holding on to something, you've got it back there, and God, I want you to deal with all these things, but let me have this one thing. Let me work at this on my own, and let me just hold on to that. And when I pray to God, and I ask Him, and I give Him permission to take away the things that I don't want to give, I can guarantee you that produces a sense of peace in my life unlike any other sense of peace I have ever had. I can repent of all these things. I can hand them over to God, but not until I give away the things that I don't want to. That is when peace comes in. And that is what the refiner's fire does. It burns all of the impurities that are in that precious metal. Everything that is not gold or silver, we burn it away. And it would be very easy if we didn't have control over that process, but we do. And the more we hold on to it, the more impure that precious metal is within us. That illustration. We're not really precious metals. But that is where we find our peace. We can find our peace in God. I'm always surprised that for all the Christmas carols or Christmas movies that are out there, the Grinch Who Stole Christmas recognizes that it starts in here. And it doesn't matter what is happening in the outside world, when you allow the change to start in you, amazing things begin to happen. There is a sense of peace that you project that confuses people. How are you so at peace? How are you willing to endure these things? Because our peace is an eternal peace. Our peace is not dictated by the things that happen around us. It doesn't dictate because somebody didn't say Merry Christmas properly, or they threw an X in front of it, and we're like, oh, that just chaps my hide. I don't know what people... Don't let those things aggravate you. If you are letting the things outside of you dictate what it is you are going to feel and the way that you will feel a sense of peace, you are not receiving your peace from God. Because God, it says at the beginning of Malachi that He will send His messenger and He will dwell in His temple. Where is that temple? Thank you. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when he dwells within us, when he becomes our source of peace, we can endure whatever life throws at us. Throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, Jesus continually says that you will be thrown into the fire. You will be like sheep among wolves. Sheep among wolves. Is that the way you conduct yourself? Or when you see a wolf, you're like, well, now it's time for me to be a wolf, because I need to counteract whatever is coming my way. I need to stand up. You see a bear, you get big. You try and scare that bear away. But when your sense of peace, when you follow what Christ said, and you are a lamb among wolves, there is a sense of peace because we are eternal right now. We do not have to wait until our funeral. We do not have to wait until we stand in front of the throne of judgment, and that is when eternity starts. Eternity is right now. If you could say we're in the middle of eternity, you can't really. But right now, we are eternal. And when we have that mindset, things change. Like I know that a lot of people that communicate with their families, Christmas time can be a very difficult time because everybody has these clashing opinions on what Christmas should be. What defines the Christmas experience? And I know I've shared in the past where like I didn't grow up in an atheist family. I grew up in definitely a lukewarm Christian family, and we had one aunt, and she was on fire for God. And she would come into a room and everybody would just clear out. Because she could not just have a normal conversation. She couldn't talk about what was going on today. It was just everything. She was just everything that she ever said. She was just trying to evangelize. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes you got to read the room. And sometimes the strife that happens in our Christmas gatherings is because we want our way. Because we want, this is what Christmas is supposed to be. And if you don't do it the way that I want to do it, then you're a heathen, and I'm going to cause a fuss. That is why how we're projecting our desires for peace. That is when we are telling people that, oh, I read Scripture, and it said that you should do this. But Scripture has never said that. It said that we should do this, that we should be changed, that we should feel that sense of peace that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The most important peace that you and I can experience is the peace of reconciliation between us and the Father. And that is why Jesus came. That is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because through his sacrifice, he reconciled and brought peace to a relationship that was eternally estranged. Without that sacrifice, and without our surrender to Christ, we are at war with God. And that war we will lose. But when we recognize that our peace is between us and God, that is the peace that Jesus came to brought. We know, you can read the book of Revelation, the second coming is not going to be peaceful. The second coming, Jesus is going to come with a robe dipped in the blood of his enemies. His tongue is a double-edged sword. I want that. I want him on my side. I'm pretty sure you want him on your side. When you stand before the throne of judgment, and that Jesus says, he is mine, and I died for that person. That is the peace that Jesus brings into the world. It is not an artificial peace where we would fight and argue with each other, but we're too polite. This interrelational peace, it's important. And we should pray that those people in Europe and those people in the Middle East and those people in America, that they would get along. But not just for the sake of being peaceful, but because they have the presence of God in their life. That they understand the value of a human life. And that Jesus came to die to bring us a sense of peace in the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you grateful for the peace that you bring, that the peace you brought through your death and sacrifice, that there was pain and torment in the peace that you brought. But we thank you and we surrender to you because the love that you showed for us is incomprehensible. We thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place so that we would be reconciled with you, that our peace comes in knowing that we have a divine relationship, that we are friends of Jesus Christ, and that we are your children. Lord, I pray that you would take from me everything that I don't want to give, so that you may be glorified, and that I may live in the peace of your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we stand? I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I will sing. I will.
so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen.
I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord. I